The best-selling book, The Dangerous Book for Boys, celebrates old-fashioned boyhood pursuits like paper airplanes, pyrotechnics, and backyard play. Writer Andrea Buchanan bought a copy of the book for her young son, and he loved it.
But we thought, what about girls?
That's right, girls.
There's so many fantastic traditions, lore that girls have, and we really wanted to collect it all in a book and celebrate it.
And that's exactly what Andrea Buchanan and co-author Miriam Peskowitz did. The result is The Daring Book for Girls. We caught up with Andrea Buchanan earlier this week and brought along some girls we hoped were daring enough to try out some of the activities in the book.
Tess Kelly, I'm 9. Caroline Koenigs, I'm 8.
Emma Murdoch, I'm 11.
Molly Charles, I'm 11.
Nora Charles, I'm 9.
Does anybody here know or like to do hand clap games?
Do you know double?
Double, double, this, double, double, that, double, this, double, that.
And you can also do it with names and ice cream like that.
Double, double, ice, double, double, cream, cream,
double, ice, double, cream, double, double, ice cream.
Let me ask you about some of the things you chose to put in this book. You've chose to tell girls how to be spies. You teach them how to make a stink bomb. Why did you choose each of those? Why do you think it's important for girls to do that?
I think girls today are pressured to be grown-ups a little sooner than we used to be. Part of what we wanted to do with this book was to extend girlhood a little bit longer. You know, we grew up in a time when there wasn't as much fun technology to play with, and running around in the backyard playing spies and sitting at home reading a book and all those kinds of low-tech ways that we filled our childhood are really wonderful things that shouldn't be lost just because we have other fun stuff to play with. Does anybody have any questions? Anything you want to ask me about some of the stuff we put in the book?
How do you whistle with two fingers?
This will involve a lot of drooling. I'm just going to warn you beforehand. You take your two pinky fingers, and you kind of make a little triangle out of them. And you're going to want to stick out your tongue. And then you want to stick your fingers, the point of your fingers, just on the tip of your tongue. And then you want to press back. So you want to be pressing your tongue forward and pressing your fingers back. And then
you're spitting on me.
Sorry.
I can do it with no hands. How do you like that? Can you do it? Curve your tongue like this. Is childhood different today, really different? I mean, there certainly is this layer of technology over everything.
Yeah, you know, I don't think childhood itself is actually that much different. I have an 8-year-old, and I didn't teach her any of those hand clap games, but she knows them because her friends taught her on the playground. I think what's different about childhood now is, you know, I don't remember as an 8-year-old being marketed to the way that my 8-year-old is marketed to today. You know, kids in the 70s, I think kids had yet to be discovered as a powerful marketing demographic. And now I think it'd be hard-pressed to find a child who isn't aware of brand names and pop culture and, you know, that kind of part of the adult world. And even at 8 years old, girls are kind of schooled to think about their bodies and the way they look and the clothes they wear. And I think because girls weren't particularly as marketed to back then, they weren't as aware of it until they were older.
Was that on your mind as you wrote this book? Did you consciously avoid things that had to do with a particular product?
Well, we really wanted to go low tech. We're both really in love with technology. We have gadgets. My kids have, you know, a Nintendo DS, and we play video games together. But I'm also a real fan of the kind of low-tech solutions to interesting problems that really lends itself to creative thinking and spontaneity and independence. And that's really what we wanted to communicate in the book.
Do you think it's harder for girls today?
Now I think girls have a much wider range of choice in terms of what they want to do. They can play sports and they can also like to paint their toenails or whatever. But I think that girls today are pressured to be perfect in a way that we weren't when we were kids. I think there's more focus on doing activities, not just for activity's sake, but to get into a good college.
What do we want to try?
What are you looking at?
Words to impress.
That's a good one. What's your favorite one from that chapter there?
Gustatory.
Gustatory.
Sprezzatura. Aaron was able to cartwheel with Sprezzatura and verb.
Frogdingnagian.
What does that mean?
Gigantic, enormous, tremendous.
Sesquipedalian.
What does that mean?
Characteristic of a long word using long words.
I had a question. Can we short sheet my brother's bed?
Let's do it right now.
I'll leave you to his room.
Childhood has certainly changed over the centuries. What do you think is the essence of childhood now?
Well, I think now parents are really anxious and they want to do a good job with their kids. But I think parents are as pressured as girls are to be perfect at what they do. And a lot of parents, because they want to give their kids any range of activities that kids might want to do, what it amounts to is a very pressurized environment for kids to grow up in. So we really wanted to advocate a kind of return to that freedom of being a kid and being able to wander away from mom or dad and explore things and keep your nose in a book all day instead of going from structured play date to after school activity to another activity after that. You know, we really wanted to get back to that sense of freedom. And we also understand that that notion of childhood itself is a pretty modern invention. Kids not having to be, working at at age 5. And yet there's something really special about being able to grow up and have a chance to do what you want to do and to explore things and maybe read a book that's not on your reading list or build a project that you're not doing just because it's a requirement for school.
So what do you need for a stink bomb?
A small jar with a screw-on lid, measuring spoons, any kind of vinegar.
Okay, I can't read the last one.
Valerian root powder. That's what actually makes a stink bomb stinky. Just pull it apart and empty it into the bowl. I'm going to pour the vinegar, but I need somebody to hold up the lids super fast because once this goes in here, all right, let's shake it up.
Ew.
All right, who's going to be the brave person who's going to smell this?
I will.
Ew.
Ew.
You want to smell?
Woo. See.
It's pretty rancid.
Ew.
That's a prompting, naggy, and odor.
Stop using such sesquipedalian words, please.
Andrea Buchanan is the author with Miriam Peskowitz of The Daring Book for Girls. We were joined by Tess Kelly, Carolyn Kanings, Emma Murdoch, and Molly and Nora Charles.
Lucy had a steamboat. Steamboat had a bell.
Our piece was produced by Bridget McCarthy, and you can read 8 tips on how to face your fears and reap the rewards at npr.org/books.
Chop off your behind the refrigerator. There was a piece of glass. She sat upon it, and she broke her wrist.